receipts and reimbursement requests to Colette, I think today, yeah? Today, email or in person, so today. And we this month, this is almost last week of the, like next week, this week will be the last week of the month. We still are going to gung-ho with Friday night watch. We are, because Kathy won't let us go. So 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Friday night, night watch. We'll start with, again, we're going to have Israel prayer from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m. And then we're going to follow on. This is a spirit of contending is now in the house. I can feel it. It's just 6 hours of prayer. It takes place. And somehow, it's okay. Somehow, it just goes more and more powerful. I'm thinking, look at this. There's this grace coming for contending prayer. So, so you're welcome to come this Friday night. And all other meetings will take a break this week, during the Christmas week. Next Monday, 31st of December, we'll have end-of-year night watch in GI Hub again. So, it's 10 p.m. And we'll probably go up to about 12:30 or 1 a.m. We'll worship. It'll be an informal gathering. We'll face one another. And we'll have a lot of time of worshiping the Lord. If you're there, feel free to come. Worship the Lord. And also, we'll share our life a little bit as we pray. What do I repent of? What do I want to ask God's grace to fix in my heart, in my life? And what do I thank the Lord for? And how do I want to commit my life to the Lord in the coming year, into the future? So we'll have a time of sharing so that we can pray more effectively. So we'll do that. Normally we'll finish about 12:30, but again, Kathy won't let us go. If you want to go on praying until 4 a.m., 5, whatever hour, you're all welcome. But so the watch night will be happening in GI Hub, 31st December, Monday. Amen. I think that's about it, yeah. Amen. Thank you.
So, good morning. I'm on. It's good. So good. So good. So, did you get all that? There's a lot. So, Christmas morning service is on, and watch night. Prayer, 10 to 12 to welcome, 12:30, New Year. And then it's going to be more informal time of sharing. And next year, we're going to do once a month time of fellowship. So the children, bless you, children, have a great time there. That you learn as much as or more than we do here. So, yes. How is everybody feeling coming towards the end of the year? You begin to wrap up things. Are you slowing down or are you, some are slowing down or speeding up? So many functions, food, meetings, and so on. And I thought, we only got two more Sundays and we're over. And next week we've got a special in-house preacher. We won't tell you who, but you'll get a really good feeling next week. But I'm thinking, today basically will be, for me, my last Sunday to address and share with you. And last week, I warned you. How many have had a little bit of time to prepare to thank God for? I don't know whether you did. it's very important, when we come together, often we come, hear the thing, and you get blessed, you get prayer and all this. But we also come, when we come to bring God something that will bless God. When we worship together, when we sing, bring songs, it's not just so that we can go through songs. We can bring our heart and bless God. This is as important, if not more important, than receiving in the time of ministry. When we bless God, bring out of our heart treasures and bless God, that actually completes worship. Amen? That's why actually in synagogue, in Jews, they do teaching first and then they do songs later. So they receive the word and then they express their thanksgiving to God with worship. Somehow in our church culture, we do it the other way. Because if we do teaching first, I think a lot of the people will actually miss out on teaching and come and don't know what to thank God for. But it's not warm up. You know, when we bring songs, we worship together. It's not just the warm up for the word. I think it's very important part of us bringing God something from our heart. And then when we release it with our mouth, see, it releases reality. It releases worship. It blesses God's heart. And we are joining God in heaven. So I want us to, bring our heart of worship, actively. And, I like to lift my hand. Sometimes I'm going off track. But, next year maybe we can have more session on worship so that it's a dynamic thing. It's an experiential thing. It's a dream worship. We actually join with a heavenly host. And what goes inside of you can be so deep during time of worship that God can speak to you. Move you. God can give you solutions for the things. How many notice that when you actually begin to pray and worship, your spirit begins to move more actively and God begins to talk to you? Different things come to your mind that you didn't think of, right? So that's the time of worship when we begin to allow the Spirit of God to move freely. Hallelujah. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And it's so important that we give God thanks. And it's so easy to just, spur of the moment, grab a microphone, say a few words publicly. But it's a different thing when you actually sit down together, sit down and put it somehow in concrete way. I've done it. I've put on paper before God. I sat down yesterday for long hours and I began to just thank God. To write down and thank God. And in fact, that's a very, very important part of involving God in our lives. So, I want to start out with something. Can you, Nathan, put it on? I want to start out with a faith statement first before we begin to have the... So we want to give thanks to the Lord. Let's go back. Yeah. Let's read together. Give thanks to the Lord for His good. His love endures forever. Amen. His love endures forever? His love endured with you? Throughout this year, has God been good to you? Has God answered your prayer? Has God blessed you in your work, in your job? Has God blessed you? Has God healed you of sickness and diseases? Amen. Did God bless you with good friends? Hallelujah. All of blessings that God has given us, we need to take time and acknowledge God and say, thank you, God. You've been working in my life. You know, when we talk to children, we teach them good manners. Before we give them a biscuit, what do we teach our children to do? Before they receive it, right? Before. And it's the same thing with God also. We need to be people that says thank you when we bring before God petition and prayer, and God brings us, God answers our prayer. When we say thank you, it actually makes us active to receive God's blessing. How many of you can give testimony of people who are not thankful, walking in great blessing? Tell me, one. I haven't met any. In fact, I find people who constantly thank God, acknowledging God, they have so many testimonies. The spirit is so receptive to receive from God. And it's so important that we cultivate a thankful attitude. That is actually behaving right before God, right? That is a right behavior. That is a Christian behavior that deepens our relationship with God. Amen? So let's give thanks to the Lord now. Before we give thanks to the Lord, we want us to say this because this is one of the ancient apostolic time faith statements. When they came together, Apostle Paul is saying, now he's in prison when he was writing Timothy, about to get his head lopped off, but he's saying, look, before I depart, I want you to all believe and say this faith statement. Because this is a good saying. There's all kinds of faith statement. You know, we have Apostles' Creed, we have Lord's Prayer, churches recite, and these things. But this is one of the things that they could say together. And most probably there was, you know, the hymn, apostolic hymn, or some will say apostolic faith statements. Let's say it together because this is a trustworthy, good basis of our faith. All right, let's say it together. Are you ready? Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Have you seen this before?
Yes.
Not many, yeah? Some yes, some no. Eh? This is actually straight from the Bible. They used to say this. And he's saying, you know, the first one, it's got nice sort of, you know, structure to it, right? So that we say it and we can put feelings behind it. And that actually gives you good foundation of your personal faith with God. And they used to sing this. But the first stanza goes, if we die with him, we'll also live with him. First century church was heavily persecuted. They were, you know, many of them were losing their lives for their faith. And he's saying, when we come together, let's make this faith statement. When we die with him, we'll also live with him. But it doesn't have to be under persecution. Because Bible is so true. Romans 6, everywhere, he says, when you put to death your self-life, your fleshly life, your lustful life, my desires, my own self-driven life, self-centered life, then Christ can rule and reign in you. Christ can live with you. That's why Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we need to make this faith statement. We do, because often, sometimes, this is not what we are hearing in the church. He's saying, you know, if you just accept Jesus, he will pamper you. He will give you all the ice cream you want. He will give you and he will make your life so easy. He will make your pathway so rosy. He will give you a new job and $1 million, good car and good house. Now, blessing of God is real. God does bless us. But somehow we've got the thing upside down that when we come to Christ, we want our self-life to increase and there is not a lot of emphasis and you know, the goal of having Christ live with us, expressing his life through us. And the first century Christian, very clear, if we die with him, less of me,
more
of him. That was Christian life. Hallelujah. Let's say it together, less of me and more of him. And that's why we are so unhappy, because there's so much of us. And sometimes church is teaching how you can have more of you. And when you get more of you, you are less happy. When you succeed, you're less happy. And we point finger, you know, brother this, and you know, other people are making me unhappy. Yeah, it's because more of two of you. Then you are making each other unhappy. But when you have more of Christ and less of me, you know what happens? Peace of God flow. Joy. Hallelujah. And that's a Christian life. Second statement is, let's say it together, if we endure, we'll also reign with him. Now, there's every statement comes with if. The three stanzas comes with, or all four, yeah, if. Are you enduring something? Yeah, oh yes, oh yes. Comes from experience, yeah, with some years of experience, oh yeah. Is there some things that you're enduring in the power of Christ? Is there something that situation you're in that Christ, power, only Christ's power, and that you not to run from, but to endure, stick and endure in the name of Jesus and not move? Amen? There is. And there are. There always will be. Anyone who tells you There's nothing to enjoy as a Christian is a liar. It's a false teacher. By putting right formula, you just escape all the trouble. No. You pray this way, you escape all the trouble. You have the easiest pathway, least resistance in life. No, it's not true. What he's saying, if we endure, we'll reign with him. So praise God for the things to endure. Because you want to reign with Christ, right? When you are in the midst of situation when you need to endure in the power of God, in the name of God, that is directly connected to ruling and reigning with Christ in the next life and in this life. Hallelujah. So we want to reign with him. Don't give in and don't give up so easily. Christians need backbone. Amen. Don't retreat so easily. Stand our ground and say, I'm going to endure. I'm going to pull through until breakthrough. There's a good saying that, you know, there's tough times don't last. Tough people do. Amen? Christ in us. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. Tough people live through, endure through tough time. So that's what they used to say. It's a lot to endure. Praise God. We're going to reign with him. Now, the next one. Shall we say it together? If we disown him, he will also disown us. Remember, this was probably a hymn contracted. You know, okay, let's sing hymn number 330. If we disown him, he will disown us. That's what they said. That's a faithful saying. It's a good saying, he says. It's a good, trustworthy thing that you got to say. Means we've got to. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? If you are ashamed of me before the people, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father and before the holy angels. And I think sometimes we make our Christian life so, you know, so unclear. Anything goes. Take the path of least resistance all the time. And that's not how we rule and reign with Christ. Amen? Amen. It's, yeah, it'll be not very popular song today. You won't hit the, you know, the top chart of Christian hymn today. If we disown him, he will disown us. But praise God. The next one. Next one. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. That's a good one. What it's saying now, that takes a lot of pressure off, but it doesn't mean that we are completely faithless, we don't believe in Jesus at all. It doesn't mean that, as obviously you already have a relationship with Christ. It's a faith confession among the believers, but he's saying that if you are struggling to be faithful to God fully in some areas of your life, that there is a struggle of faithful, being faithful to God, struggle of being loyal to God fully, there is an area of compromise that you're struggling, then don't think that God has abandoned you. Never believe that's not the case, because God by nature is faithful. If there is an area of struggle, area of compromise, struggling to be faithful to God, and that brings shame, he's saying he's faithful, trustworthy thing, God is faithful to you. He's committed to this relationship. He will not disown you. He will not stop short. He will not, you know, let go. He will not give in. He will not deny you. He will not give in. He will not let go of you. God is faithful through and through, and it's his character. Once he is committed, once you are in living relationship with Christ, he will see through. He will stay with you. His love is unchanging, like a rock then you can come back any time of the day, no matter how many times you failed. That's why Jesus said, you forgive someone 70 times 7, 490 times on the same day, on the same thing. Why would Jesus say that? Because God, the Heavenly Father, is a God like that. When we fail, or when we make choices that we regret, don't beat yourself. Don't cut yourself off. Know that God is faithful every single time for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? That's the very nature of God. Once you said yes to God, that's the God you... Now, how many know that there's a difference between disowning God and struggling to be faithful? It's a big difference. And it's very important we need to make this difference, because there are sometimes brand of teaching that says, like, you know, once you pray the sinner's prayer, it doesn't matter what you do. That is very, 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 very dangerous. After we get saved, our life is more important to God. Our decisions are important, but thank God we are bubble wrapped with His mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to make the most of our life, isn't it? Bible never says, you know what, don't worry about it, because salvation is just, I've written the guarantee check here, so just go ahead and live your life, and at the end of your life, I'm going to come and collect you to heaven. Never, Bible says that. Bible is always, always encouraging us to go for more, go for the maximum. Don't settle for minimum. When you're trying to settle for minimum, you will not at all live Christian life. You will completely waste your life. Really. Time flies. If you go for minimum requirements for salvation, your life will be wasted. I'm not trying to put any of us down. It is. But you go for the maximum of what God has for you, then now you're really talking relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, isn't that great? The last statement is what really brings so much release and thanksgiving. Right? But it's faithful, it's trustworthy to say all four statements. And in the latter, aren't you glad that God deals with us not according to what we deserve? Where would you be if God dealt with you according, righteously, justly with what we deserve as Christian? Where would you be? Where would your life be? Where would I be? So you know what? This is a great Thanksgiving point for me. If I am faithless, Lord, if I'm struggling, if I haven't done many things right, we continue to make mistakes and fall, make some bad choices, but we always can look to God and say, you know what? In this relationship, there's one person who is 100% faithful and committed, and that's why it'll work all the time. When you're married, you need at least one person totally, 100%, rock, perfect love. If both fall apart, it's a different thing. In this relationship, you have one person who is perfect, just, righteous, merciful, kind, and never repay us for what we deserve. That's why our relationship with God always works. It doesn't matter how naughty we've been. Praise God. And that's where I'm going to actually, next one. I want to ask to remember this and thank God for each of these items. See, let's read together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Isn't that great? Yes, last night I was sitting there going through all the list. Guess what was the most, you know, I can thank God for every one of them. I'm sure most of you here. How many have been healed by God at some point in your life? Which one am I most thankful to, that I really, really am most thankful to? Number 3, the first one. forgive all my iniquities. Amen. Hallelujah. Permanently wiped out my sin. And written my name in the book of heaven, and still ongoing cleansing of all my iniquities and sins in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. But verse 10 is very interesting. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Is that true? If God punished you for your iniquities justly as a Christian, where would you be? If he's done that this year, where would you be? Some of you will be missing arms and a leg. I might have, you know, some of us will have one eye. You know, if he causes your, you know, arm to sin, pluck it out. So, you know, there will be a whole lot of Christians walking without limbs, walking without eyes. God has not done that. He didn't do that. Instead, God blessed us. And I find that, you know, verse 10, a great launching pad for blessing and then thanking God for thanksgiving. Next one. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 19. Everybody familiar with that? Some of you are familiar with that? Let's read together. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many know John Wesley? For John Wesley, he used to preach things called the Christian perfection, means the Christian maturity, that he believed that Christian can reach such state of sanctification that he doesn't really walk in sin anymore now. I believe we will never be perfected. We always... always have danger of sinning and falling while we are on this earth. As long as you're clothed in our human flesh, there's always that weakness that is inside of us, even though we don't have to sin. But basically, John Wesley said that basis, these three things, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, giving thanks. If Christian does these three things continually, consistently in all our areas, there's no problem with that Christian. It's a basis of Christian maturity. For him, it was perfection. I wouldn't call it perfection, personally, because it can create a lot of misunderstanding. But anyway, isn't that interesting? How many are rejoicing? We are rejoicing now. There are times that we find it very difficult to rejoice this year. I found this year some things very difficult to rejoice in. But praise God, I'm here. I'm rejoicing now. Amen. Amen. God is good. Pray without ceasing. If you're rejoicing, you're praying, and then in everything, give thanks. I had a lot of catch-up to do. Everything, really. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It occurred to me last night, how many of you seen a Christian who is confident that he is walking in the will of God, who is not thankful? How many? I haven't seen. Usually people are very confused about the will of God. People who have no confidence, they always feel out of the will of God, are the Christians who are not thankful. They always feel they deserve more, or this person let me down, or I feel bad, this, that, always languishing. And that person may be in the will of God, but will never have confidence that he's walking in the will of God. Because how does the will of God begin? You rejoice, we pray, life of prayer, and thanksgiving, giving thanks. Which is easiest out of three? I think that's the easiest. Pray without ceasing, you try that. So why don't we start with the easiest one? Because when you start giving thanks, it'll actually help you to pray. In fact, help you to pray very powerfully when you are thankful. It's like this, you know, our condition, soil of our heart can be two. You know, some soil can be very acidic. And you can put the best seed in the ground and put all the manure and, you know, all the water, sun, right amount. If the soil condition is too acidic, it'll just struggle to grow. Acidic soil is not thankful soil. Complain, murmuring. Very difficult for the fruit of the Spirit to grow or the voice of God to come. And that is the next verse, verse 90. Do not quench the Spirit. Can you see that thanksgiving and the quenching the Spirit are related? When we are not thankful, we are quenching the Spirit. When did you feel the move of the Spirit sweeping over you and the voice of God coming, speaking to you of His love? It's when you're thankful. And now, let me just say that thankfulness, you don't have to feel thankful to be thankful. It starts in the will. It's the right response. You don't have to feel greatly, overabundantly thankful because everything's going right in my life to be thankful. Because when everything's not going right and you still thank God by faith, what is it called? It's called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's something that's very pleasing to God. Amen? Amen. What is the evidence? Ephesians 5, a similar, you know, verse. He says, let's read together. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, let's stop here. What's the point here? Point is, don't drink. Oh, it's a Christmas season. I don't know how many of table will be bubbling with wine, literal wine, you know, alcoholic beverages, and you can... I put no guilt and condemnation on you if you want to. Just don't get drunk, you know. Just, you know, I hate drinking. When I was a little boy, my father actually brought me to his table and forced me to drink a beer, a sip. And that was enough. Put me off for the rest of my life. Since then, I didn't taste one drop of beer. Like, you know, even at work, they have a beer. I go, no, why you drink that stuff? But anyway, don't be drunk. But what's the point is not don't. What's the point? Point is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Oops, what happened? Speaking? Okay. All right. What happened, really? He's got demon possession. Rebuke in the name of Jesus. It's three times. Okay, it's connecting. Thank you, Lord. Grumbling. All right. No. Thank you, Jesus. While we're talking about this, I'll tell you a joke. You know, somebody was about to eat the food, and the food was really kind of, you know, and how you pray for the food. He said, you know, I'm growing big, so I rebuke the calories in Jesus' name. So the friend said that, you know, that sword does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Okay, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, what happened? Number one, continual lifestyle of praise. True? I mean, I look at some people like, you know, like Han and others, yeah. Continually praising with, you know, tambourine and always praising God and thanking God and sharing. Cannot do it except the Holy Spirit. Energize that person. The weapon of mass destruction. Demons tremble. What is the second one? Second one. Giving thanks always for all things. So there are things that we've not given thanks but given complaint to God It's a good time to actually reverse it and thank God that God will have the good out of it. There are evil things that sometimes happen to us, and I'm not calling evil good. When somebody does horrible things to you, it's evil. I'm not telling you to call evil good, but God's going to get the good out of the evil. So for that, we thank God.
Amen.
Amen? What's the next one? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So if somebody is not grumbling, somebody is not submitting, not thankful, and saying, I've been filled with the Spirit. I am filled with the Spirit. What am I going to say? You were filled with the Holy Spirit. You're leaking now. You were filled, but you're leaking. When you're filled, expression of the Holy Spirit flowing out is the character of the Holy Spirit of praising God, thanking God, and walking in the fear of God, submitting to one another, not insisting my own way. Okay. Next one. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for how long?
3 days.
How many love fish food, seafood? I love seafood. Okay, that's. I like eating seafood. I don't like being eaten by sea creatures. Now, you got to cook certain way seafood, because, I mean, you know, it's just got beautiful texture and fragrance, smell. Imagine if you're in the belly of the fish, they smell terrible. Can you imagine being 3 days, horrible smell, because everything around you is digesting. In fact, you are being digested slowly. 3 days being literally in a stinking place, hard to breathe, literally you're melting away. 3 days. That's a terrible place. I bet that no one ever experienced that kind of, God dealt with Jonah according to what he deserved, right? People threw him off the board. Fish ate him up. And there he's 3 days he's praying. Water surrounded even to my soul. Deep clothes around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Can you imagine weeds? Seaweed. I like eating seaweed soup. The seaweed is now melting around you. It's eating. You're part of the food. And when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. What was his prayer? I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. Amen? That's the first prayer. Voice of, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And what happened? So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Have you been praying hard? Praying hard, praying hard. Praying some more and so on. With a lot of anxiety. Why don't we thank God? When Jonah, see, Jonah was a very angry prophet, remember? Very angry. He could hear God, but he was very angry. And it took 3 days in the belly of fish to change his attitude. I think for first time in a long while, Jonah said, I thank you. In the belly of the fish, melting, being digested. Thank you. And God spoke to fish, and fish couldn't keep Jonah anymore. Came out. How many feel sometimes trapped in the belly of the fish, smelling? Why don't we try Thanksgiving? You get vomited out. I'm free. Before it's too late. It's a great lesson, isn't it? It's a great lesson. How did Jesus multiply the food? Multiplied and feed 5,000. Yeah, very simple, yeah. He wasn't being praying, fasting while people are waiting and praying. He just gave thanks and then gave it. See, it releases the power. When we thank God, it releases God's power. When we thank God ahead of receiving our prayer, it releases. It actually activates our spirit to receive from God what we're praying for. Amen? How did Jesus raise Lazarus? He just looked up and said, Father God, I thank you. You always hear me. He said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, like probably like this, because he was all wrapped. So many areas of our lives, we need to thank God. If there is a delay, if you have a delay fish delaying you, now it's a line from Nemo. Delay fish, they're trying to keep you back, you know. Thank God for the God's timing. Just go ahead and praise God and thank God. My times are in your hand, oh God. Hallelujah. What happened to the, I'm almost done, warning to the complainers. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them. Whenever there's ungodly, read it together, okay? Ungodly among them all, their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Talking about the coming of the Lord, Enoch saw, even before the first coming of the Lord, and the earth filled with ungodly people doing ungodly things four times. And he goes on the next verse, talks about the characteristic of the ungodly people. These are what? Grumblers, complainers, walking according to their lust, and their mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Does that look like people that you come across on earth as we speak? Especially in our generation, in my generation, I see change of these characteristics. And the word there, complainers, only happens once in the New Testament. It's a very interesting word. It's the people who complain incessantly and continually about their lot in life. Have you met them? Continually, incessantly complain about their lot in life. Why? Why me? There is him. Strike him. Why me? Sorry me. Poor me. What happened to Israel? We'll just read those quick verses. I'll just read you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 to 10. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as they some of them. As it is written, people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. 23,000 in one day. Nor let us tempt Christ. Some of them also tempted as they destroyed by the serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyers. It's the five sins of Israel, he's saying, that were written for us. Because church, you're in the same boat as Israelites were. We're dealing with the same God who doesn't change. And he's saying, what have they seen? They lusted after evil things. They're going after evil things. They lust after evil things. Second, they were idolaters. In the West, I think the biggest idolatry is mammon. Well, probably the bigger one is me. Moi. My convenience. sexual immorality, tempting Christ. And then what? They complain. When we go to Numbers, what have they done? They complain to the congregation after they spy out the land. And these men brought evil report about the land. And God, they died by the plague. Now, God doesn't do that every time. If God did it every time, there would be no church on earth today. As soon as you get saved, you know, 2 days later, I'm gone. You know, I'm in heaven at a baby stage. So he holds back. But that's how God feels about complaining. People who spread discontent and complain in the camp, that infected the whole camp, they were trying to actually stone Moses. And God says, this is how I feel about complaining. And they died. And then a little later, see, they did it again. They were discouraged because the journey was not easy. How many find your life so easy? My life is so easy. Everything's just my fingertips. I have control over it. Or do you feel like it's just, like, you know, it's just outside of control? It's like, if I get this, it's all right. But it's always just outside of my control. Just not quite, you know, got it under your control. And when life is hard, you know what people do? Christians and non-Christians, see, human nature, fallen nature, is that we complain and blame. Make sure, look for a target to blame. And the blame is not your parents, really. Blame is not. Usually people like to blame people on authority. That's why politicians can never please everybody. Now, there's other things that can be said about politicians too, but, you know, usually we look for people in authority to blame, but that's not the answer, right? So what did the Lord say? They spoke against God and spoke against Moses. So what have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. I was so loath this worthless bread. What is worthless bread? Manna. It's a supernatural food with all the nutrients that God gave them supernaturally, but it wasn't garlic, it wasn't garlic sauce, it wasn't onion sauce, it wasn't, you know, nice Chinese cha kway teow. It's just plain bread with all the nutrients you need. No, my tongue is tickling. We need, you know, the Iron Chef back into our kitchen. We're so angry. Kill this man. And what did God do? The Lord sent fiery serpent. The Lord sent them into the camp, and they were getting bitten, and they were dying. And then Lord said to Moses, let's read together. Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who was bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and it was as if a serpent had bitten anyone. When he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Hallelujah. And what did Jesus say? Let's read together. As Moses was lifted up, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is the solution for complaining and murmuring? Why me, Spirit? Complain and murmuring, blaming, unthankful, ungrateful. What is God's attitude towards it? It's judgment. How do we get out of that? Look at the serpent that was lifted up. Jesus became curse, became sin. Jesus was cursed on a tree. He absorbed all the destruction and judgment that is due to you and due to me because of my sin and your sin. He absorbed it all. He received it all in your place. Blood flowed out, and he's saying, I've taken all the blame, I've taken all the curse, I've taken all the beatings, I've taken separation from God, curse, so that you can receive freely forgiveness of your sin and eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eternal life. eternal life in Christ. We are, without Christ, condemned to hell. It's true. Not popular. True. We deserve punishment. Christ received all the punishment. And so when you look at that, there's nothing to complain. Become grateful. Lord, you took on everything that I need to receive so I can freely receive your goodness, steadfast love, blessing. Hallelujah. Kindness, forgiveness, healing. How many are grateful for your salvation? How many know that Jesus saves, he forgives without scolding you? Forgives. He says, once you say, Lord, forgive me in Jesus, let your blood cover all my sin. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Something happens to you. Happened to me when I was little. Never left, because it's real. If it's not real, it'll leave you. If you meet Jesus, he stay with you. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God for my salvation more than anything else. Hallelujah. You know, it's Proverbs. Let's read together. Proverbs. Okay, so sorry, it's an old English. I couldn't find newer English with a beautiful picture together like that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. That's a great verse to remember as 1 year comes to a close. We're looking forward to a new year. And many of us will be wondering, what is the right path for me, Lord? I want to be led by you. There are so many pathways. Every year people go through the stocktake. Am I taking the right pathway? There are so many doors. Which door? And you know what? If you seriously try to seek God, I've done it many times. You don't in fact have enough time to seriously consider and pray through all the choices. There are so many choices. They happen. Come upon us and go. But what it's saying, it's not saying you fast and pray before every little decision you're going to make. No. What is it saying? Acknowledge. Acknowledge God in every pathway. And don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in every area, every pathway, every choices that are before you. And God, how do we acknowledge it? You know, simplest way to acknowledge God in every pathway is thank God. And in fact, in the past, this year, what God had done, you name it, God, you touch my body. Lord, you bless me in this way. Lord, I moved to a new place. Thank you, your hand was in it. Lord God, I thank you for the salvation of these people. Thank you, Lord God, for coming through. Thank you for the raise I received this year. Thank you for the new people, new job. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank God for the health that I have. Thank God for everything. Decisions that you've made and the things that have turned out well. Because when things don't turn out well, we forget about it. When things don't turn out well, only remember that. That also acknowledge, God, you are in it. But things that had not gone wrong, God, you've been in it. Acknowledge God by thanking God. You've been in it. Without you, I wouldn't be here. This year, you've been faithful. Hallelujah. I think I've preached enough, right? So, dear God, today I woke up. I'm healthy. I'm alive. Thank you. I apologize for all my complaining. I'm truly grateful for all you've done. Amen. That's us, right? That's a little child inside of us. But I want to, you know, I'm going to give you a microphone. In fact, I want to thank God because I've written down a few things, but I'm going to be real quick. I'm going to thank God for saving me from hell, fire, and the fear of death when I was a little child, when the Lord came and touched me, and I said yes to Jesus. Ever since, the peace of God, presence of God, love of God never left me. It will never leave you when you say yes to Christ. Amen. And the death and the sin and the rejection I deserve because of my sin, God put it all away. I thank the Lord for His steadfast love and mercy shown to my family and also to this family of GI, you and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And thank God for His unfailing, unchanging favor. I want to acknowledge many things. I thank God for my beautiful family, my wife, Mia, Nathan. It's been delightful. Absolutely well-behaving. Praise God. And will be in the future as well. So far, I mean, he's 15, but never had any trouble. I mean, you know, he's just so well-behaved, so obedient. I thank God for you, Nathan. And I thank God for your children. Thank God for your children. Don't make a list of their failures and rebellion. Because when you keep saying it, when they are not there, what you're doing is you're releasing barrier between you and them. Invisible barrier that makes them to withdraw from you. Say good things when they're not there. Praise God for them. Thank God for the good things. You gain spiritual access into their life. But Mia has been really faithful, been healthy. I thank God for my health. I thank God for our health. Thank God for a place that we can stay. Thank God for you. Thank God for many faithful Christians, God's people that have stood with us. Thank God for the new people that I met. With them. Thank God for so many things. Food. I love food. Thank God. For air. Thank God for my car never broke down this year. In fact, the car never broke down since I got it. Praise God. I mean, thank God for so many things. I thank God for my guitar. Thank God for my overseas trip. I thank God for, you know, just so many things, you know. And you know what? Most of all, I thank God the hunger to know God is still there. And I know it's in you. Because we are not satisfied to settle where we are at. We want to know God. We want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God. And the hunger is there. When that hunger is gone, you know what? I don't think I'll be here anymore. If I cannot truly run after God, I have no job teaching, preaching anybody anywhere. But I thank God. I hunger after God. And that's the grace of God. And it's in you and in me. This is the direction of this church. We're going to hunger after God, go after God. Amen? So, I'm going to give you a microphone. You can think about it. But I'm going to only give you 2-3 minutes per person. If you have prepared your homework, you come. Let's not waste our time. Let's thank God. Here's a microphone. Why don't you just grab and thank God. Thank God. Why you want to thank God? What you going to thank God for? And thank God. Just simple things, okay. 2-3 sentences, okay. So come. Michael.
Yeah. Praise God. I won't need 2 or 3 minutes. It's all good. Look, thanks for the message, though. It was awesome. Reminding us to be thankful, faithful. You know, it's always easy to give thanks for the good things God does in our life. But what about when there's hard times? So what about this challenge? What about when there's loss? The seasons close in our life. And for me, that's been very much the season of my life this year, where everything, seasons of my life have come to an end. But my testimony is that I've seen God's faithfulness in that season in an amazing way. I've seen His unfailing love in an amazing way that you has brought me just to such a grateful heart to experience God in that way when whatever you go through, whatever season, but you see His faithfulness. And my testimony and praise is His faithfulness. This year has been amazing. I found my Heavenly Father in a way, a powerful way that I never would have found Him if I didn't go through this season. I'm so, so grateful for His love and faithfulness that just endures forever. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for sharing with us as well. And yeah, praise God. Michael is a man of God. Very strong. Yeah, Layli.
I did my homework. It's very strong.
Thank God for Layli.
I thank God for His gift of sight that He has given me, my eyes to see. This signifies His love. It has been a new perspective. It has not been easy. And I have to adjust. I thank God that He's using this incident to draw me closer to Him and teaching me intimacy with Him. For this, I thank God.
Amen. Thank you, Lily. Praise God. More? Yeah.
I'm always very grateful and thankful to God, but something happened to me recently, 2 weeks ago, that my heart just overflowed with praise. Because, I fractured my hip 2010, and then hospital and all sort of thing for a long time and all that. Then, 2 weeks ago on Saturday when we had family dinner, I had a sort of gnawing pain at my back, and especially on the left side where I had the fracture. So, and then although I could move and all that, but then so I continue, and then I just take Panadol, and then on Sunday I came to church. It wasn't that bad. The gnawing pain was still there. Then I did a silly thing. After that, I went into ironing for 2 hours, which I should never have done. But anyway, on Monday, the pain was so excruciating. It was exactly like the fractured hip. And when I fractured my hip, they put me on fentanyl, which we all know is a very, very strong painkiller. Mm-hmm. I have nothing with me apart from Panadol Osteo. So I didn't know what to do, so I rang up my brother-in-law, who is my GP, and I asked him. He said that, well, there's nothing you can do. Come and see me tomorrow. So I said, okay, and I'll do a CT scan for you. So towards evening, usually on Monday, my daughter come over, and we have time of dinner, and then we pray about her work and everything, you see, and then people who need prayer for healing and whatever. So after that, the pain was so excruciating, I just got to go to my bed. I wanted to lie down. Then she said that, I'll rub some Voltaren for you. I couldn't even turn over for her to rub. It was as bad as that. Mm. Can't even move. Then my heart sing. It's nearing Christmas, and the other daughter in Melbourne and her husband coming down to join for Christmas. I have 1,001 things to do. What am I going to do, Lord? And I just don't know what to do. So after my daughter gone, I was alone lying on the bed, you know, I yelled at the top of my voice, Jesus, help! I yelled 3 times. I didn't say, Jesus, heal me. I just said, Jesus, help! I yelled with all that was within me.
Wow.
And then after that, the pain was still there, and I forgot about it. So I went to sleep that night, and I slept very fitfully because it was very painful. Then when I got up in the morning, and I just got up like that and sat on the bed, but it never occurred to me that I got healing. Until I walked to the bathroom and I started brushing my teeth. How come no pain? You know? And then I decided to bend down and touch the toe. Again, no pain.
Wow.
Oh, glory, hallelujah. I've been healed.
Praise God. So you yelled, Jesus, help, yeah? You didn't say, Allah, heal.
No.
Jesus'
no.
name makes
that's
difference.
Right. And,
hallelujah.
And so, but still, he said that, do I still want to go and see Andrew? I said, yeah. You see, oh, ye of little faith. I said, yeah, I want to get the CT form just in case, you know. And then when I went to Andrew, he made me lie down on his couch.
Yeah.
And then he made me put my leg up 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And then he go around, I don't know what he did, with both legs. And then he made me bend down just my knee. He said that, you're all right.
You're
There's
fine.
Nothing wrong with you. You're healed.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Fula?
I just want to thank the Lord that every trial I've ever been through, recently as well, but in all my life, by just going to God because I had nowhere else to turn to, He made me a stronger person, closer to God. So I realized that scripture, that all things work together for good. Uh-huh. That scripture kept coming to my mind, and I kept saying, thank you, Lord, that only good's going to come out of this situation. And another thing was, count it all joy when you're going through trials. I said, yes, Lord, I thank you that through this you're changing me.
Amen.
And closer to God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Catherine, makes me exercise.
Like our sister just said, I'm always pretty grateful to God, you know, and I can feel when I'm not. But I shared on Thursday with the ladies group that Pastor Mia leads, because I'd been contemplating, what am I thankful for at this time of the year? And for me, 2017 and 2018 has really, it's just, it's been like the same year, right? And I was really surprised to hear myself feel and say to the Lord, I'm finishing well. And I know from my journal in January of 2018 and then in 2017, not everything is manifested as I, you know, would like, but that's not the point. I still feel so complete. And one of the questions we were asked a few weeks ago in our Thursday meeting was, who do you say that I am? And I had to really think about that, you know. I wasn't satisfied with the answer that I gave in our group because I hadn't really thought about it. And this is the key for me, because in my journal from 2017, I said, I want to know the Father. I want to see what the Father is doing. I only want to pray the prayers that the Father prays, that Jesus prayed. And so who do you say that I am? Jesus asked his disciples. And for me, the answer is simple. He is my advocate with the Father. So that's why I feel like I've come in this circle, that I know who the Father is. I don't know him completely, not at all, but that he is my advocate. He is my doorway. He is my access to the Father. And if you knew my background, that's a really big deal, because my father loved me, but he was a very violent, very cruel man. So for me to say that I know the Father is a really, really big deal. So 2018, I am so grateful because I know the Father and I am finishing well.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. That's lovely. Praise God. Anyone else? Okay, Han's got tons of testimony. All right. You don't have the tambourine with you. Okay, anyway. Sorry.
Forgive me. Yes, so many things I'd be thankful for. Now, I think some of you know I had a stroke before. I was half paralyzed. Mm. I had a brain operation. Today I'm walking. I'm so thankful to God. And then I suffered from depression after the stroke, because it's a after-stroke depression, and God delivered me from the depression. Thank you, I won't be who I am today if he had not healed me in so many ways. I just know how, that he is really faithful, just like we sang today, that all his promises are yea and amen. You can trust in his word. Whatever his words say is truth, because so many times, there was so much pain, a pin fell onto my leg. I just stand on his word, which says that by his stripes, we are healed. And he has taken our pain. So when I claim, God, you have taken my pain, no more pain, and the pain goes. Mm. So God is faithful. And we can just know that what we need to do is stand on his promises. He is faithful, and he's forever faithful, and his love for us endures forever. That even though the mountains and the fields are removed, but his love for us, amen, is always there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Han. Thank you. I think there is a lot of signal going on. Quite a few people want to share. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Tina. I actually want to be give thanks to God for all you guys. Mike and I have been here for about a year, and it's just been so lovely to experience the teaching here and also the safe place. If you actually haven't experienced it as a safe place yet, just know it's a safe place for you to heal and to journey. And I'm actually a really slow learner, so I was really blessed when we had our church getaway this year. That's a plug to come to next year's church getaway, because you don't know what you discover. And I really felt God's love through Paul Ryan's teaching. And this year, Mike and I had the opportunity, because another answer to prayer was my husband really has come to life in his walk with Christ too. And he actually instigated that we go to LL for the whole year, and God has just done tremendous healing. God just has his finger on everyone's heart that you don't even know, that sometimes you just self have hidden things that you don't know about. Yeah, he has this gentle way of unlocking and bringing up things in our hearts that we can heal from that I didn't even know was there. So, yeah, I'm really grateful for that journey. So, yeah, that has been... talk to me about it if you want to know more about, but that, I'm really grateful for that. And when we went to Nepal, it was just really wonderful to see my husband dancing with joy and seeing him come to life. We'll probably share more about that later, but yeah, that was really lovely.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, they will share Christmas Day, 2 days later, a little bit more. Yeah? Who? Oh, yeah, okay. Nikki? Okay. Yeah, Nikki, you put it here.
Hi, I'm Nikki. I'm new to most of you. I've just been coming here for most of this year. And I just wanted to testify to what God has done in my life. 2017, that season was a very hard season for me and my family. And I felt at the end of that season, I felt like God speaking to me from this verse. Can I share it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's from Isaiah 41:18-19. And at the end of that season, I felt very dry and depleted, just internally in my soul, I suppose. And I felt God saying to me from Isaiah 41:18-19, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together. And I will do all this for the glory of my name. And Pastor Paul had encouraged us last Sunday to think about what we were thankful for. And as I reflected on this year, I can honestly say that it's an internal work so far anyway in this season. And I can honestly say that I feel like my soul has been watered and that the Lord has truly watered my soul, and what was dry and depleted just feels full, you know, like when rains pour and the garden is nourished. So I'm very grateful to God for that.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Nikki, for sharing with us that. Yeah. I could see you kind of, you know, yeah. Should I? Shouldn't I? Yes, you should. Come on.
Even words that can describe how thankful I know both Stephen and I are for being able to come and fall in a very safe and soft place. Remember when Terry was teaching and talking about the church being like a womb, being a place where we can be carried. That is exactly what God has done through all of you, for both Stephen and I, and for our family. And the season that we have been going through, I'm not through it yet, but there has been great healing both in my life, in Stephen's life, in the hearts of our children as well. And I can't even explain how or what it's been. I know that so many have carried us in prayer, and we're very thankful for that. And many have walked alongside of us with all that we've been through. Yeah, I'm just very thankful. Yeah. Did you want to say anything? No?
Thank you. Thank you. Translate, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can, yeah. Wonderful, yeah. Alice, this is Alice, yeah. And Joanne, Joanne's daughter-in-law, yeah.
因为我不会讲英文，所以我讲华语，他给我解释给大家听哦。Okay.
I'll just translate for mom because she doesn't speak English that well. Okay.
因为我这几个月来，我都很痛苦。 因为我医生说我的那个肺啊，就烂了，有 cancer， 所以我很痛苦，我不知道怎么样好。但是因为我的儿子 Peter 整天叫我祷告。嗯，啊，mom
feel very miserable, and because last few months she was diagnosed with lung cancer, and she feel very don't know what to do. But Peter just asked her to pray, keep praying.
他每天都叫我祷告，所以我就那个时候啊，我就不大很会祷告，但是还是他们和Joanne，就是我的媳妇，都和Peter叫我怎么样祷告，每天都这样子，我就学习祷告了。祷告以后呢，我的心里还是不大舒服，但是我很感谢我们，这个确实的就会有些。 就鼓励我，你不要怕，你祷告，天父和Jesus呢都会帮助我。那么我有一点信心了，大家都这样鼓励我，我一直都是祷告了。但是医生说我那肺里那个 cancer 会长大的，我就是很痛苦，很痛苦的。但是没有办法，我还是要祈求了，我是祈求天父。 和Jesus说，保护我，帮我医治我的这个 cancer， 我就祷告了。 Sorry.
So mom doesn't know how to pray because she's just a new believer. So, all the brothers and sisters in the church and also family members also encourage her, teach her how to pray and just says that God. God will listen to your prayer. Like you just pray by faith, and then just continue to pray. And then as people also helping her every Sunday when she comes, church members, our brothers and sisters also keep praying for her.
我的媳妇来这个教堂来了，但是这个婆啊和面，他都每一次和我祷告，我都很感谢他们，我很感谢我这个在这个教会里的那些朋友们哈，那些我很感谢他们，我一直祷告，一直就去医院了，医院医生说你这是要拿出哪里东西来看哦，然后我做了那个手术，拿出来的时候医生说。 没有事啊，你这个验不出是什么东西来，好像棉花一点点而已，没有事情。他说你一定是没有事情，就验了很多次，去试验了，都说没有事情啊。他说不是 cancer 来的，你那个，那么我就很高兴了，我就举手祷告，那个时候我很诚意的祷告。Translate.
okay. When, because the doctor says that she need to have operations to take out the tumor. So and then at first they had the diagnosis and then says that she has to go through the operation. So after the prayers and everything, so she went through the operations and doctors went for the tests and then it says that it was just a normal tissue, nothing wrong with it. So it's like from the first diagnosis, saying that she has a lung cancer, and when the result come out, it's just a normal tissue. Like it's not. So I.
So 那个时候我真的是很相信天主和这个耶稣基督。
我感谢他们医治我好，没有事情了。那么，你当我的脚了，我的脚很多次祷告都祷告不到了。那因为我的，我不是很久的认识这个天父和耶稣啊，不过我有看那个圣书啊，看得了，我就知道很多。那我就说，我就向主耶稣讲，我说。 我奉你的名把那个邪神赶走，每一次都这样讲。Okay,
so after mom's healed, because she also have a problem on her knee, so but she's always like having difficulty walking, so but she just have faith and just continue and pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, her knee be healed, and she was just confessing it every day, and she says that her knee is completely healed.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Alice. Thank you. Alice has... Yeah, okay. Last one. We can do it, you know, another time as well. But yeah, Amanti has been so faithful.
I just want to thank all of you for this church, for being so... my prayer life has improved so much. I spend a lot of time in the prayer house, and the Lord has been so faithful. And we have appreciated the teaching, the servant hearts of the pastors, and the way the leaders, because I'm, when it comes to things of the church, I was very involved with the church for about 7 years, and somehow I sort of, after that I left that church, and for a long time, I couldn't settle down, so I went round and round to different churches. So, but here I felt the Lord's heart and the prayer and all what I could do my bit for to grow and to learn. So I thank the pastors for your leadership. You never forced me to do anything. When I wasn't ready, when I first came, I just wanted to bathe in the Holy Spirit. And you allowed me that, and it was such a understanding hearts that you felt where we were at, Pastor Mia, and you. I'm so grateful for that. And now I've found the Lord in a very deep way. I feel that He has called me to sit at His feet and hear His voice. And I believe in this church, I found that. So I'm so grateful for the intimacy now I have with Him, and I'm walking so closely. And I want to continue. And thank you for the space.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanti. Thank
you. Just to add on that, basically, because of Amanti, I got closer to the Lord as well. I mean, like, because I have her to fall back on. Basically, Jesus said, and I've been going my walk with her and independently as well. So... And Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. And especially this year, it has been a growth to the next level.
Yeah.
So I would like to thank Jesus for that, especially because I had my first prophetic vision as well. So, I mean, that's the first time I had that in prophetic that way, which came to pass. So thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. We're going to just sing. Yeah. Why don't we get the... Steadfast love the Lord never ceases. I wish we have more time. I wish I preached shorter. Oh, it's too late. So, but maybe even on Christmas Day, we can, if some of you want to just thank the Lord, we can do that Christmas Day. All right. But we want to finish with a song of thanksgiving. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's an old hymn. Why don't we finish off this and then I'll bless you. And we just thank God. If you have any physical needs, we just pray and thank God. And I'm just gonna pray over you and you just thank the Lord and receive. I believe the Lord will touch.
The steadfast love of the
Thank the Lord, lift our hands, and just have your own time. And if you need healing, just receive. Just thank the Lord and receive that healing. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord between you and the Lord. Be specific. Thank the Lord.
Oh, the Lord never
count the blessings. And diseases in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every sickness to leave, every pain to go. Father, release your healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. May the grace of the Lord and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand. God bless you. I will see you.